it's so life-changing to be able to do that. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your grace to us. We need that. Every one of us here needs your grace. And we don't take it lightly. We recognize it as the undeserved gift that it is. And that just results in more praise to you. So help us to see that, to need it, to cry out for it, and to be grateful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the part where I go get my glasses that are sitting right over here so I can read this 15-point font. We have strict rules at City's Edge, and you will not be able to preach again until you get to at least a 30-point font.
It's 36.
Not in any theory I've ever known.
It's a Mac, Dan. You have to give her some slack.
It's a Mac?
It's a Mac.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have people to help you with that. Well, I meant December. Anyway, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he called out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God.
Oops, that was it.
We'll wait on that one.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Drama team, it's up to you now.
Can't do it. So yeah, if you're going off to one of the kids' classes, head off now. Thanks. Have fun. Head on. Good morning. So I get to teach about blind Bartimaeus, which it's interesting because it doesn't say his name anywhere in the entire scripture, but they have a header that says blind Bartimaeus, and apparently some of the smart guys that put the Bible together realized that Matthew was describing the same guy, so they put his name in the header here so that you would know it was the same guy that was over in Matthew. But anyway, so this is Luke's version of what happened in the story. But let me start with blindness. You know, we use the word blindness for a lot of things in our culture. Mainly we're talking about people who just don't get it, who can't quite understand, right? People that just never quite come to the place where it seems obvious to everybody else, but they're just not getting it. They're blind to the truth. They're running blind. They're whatever. And I kind of wanted to connect those two things today because I think that Luke put this particular story in this place, in this collection of stories, for a reason. One of the reasons I think that is there's tons of stories of healing. There's way more stories of healing than we have in the Bible. Way more things were done that were never written down of healing of all kinds, and enough that we have a really, really big book if they were all written down. But Luke chose this one as one of his points. So I had a friend named Chuck who was blind. Great guy. I was in this Christian rock and roll, hard rock Christian band with him. And he was the lead guitar player, lead singer, could really thrash like Hendrix. The guy could move that guitar in ways that I didn't know you could do, right? And he had like this encyclopedia of music in his head. And no matter how obscure the song you'd mention to him, he could just start wailing on it right away. Because he just kind of had it hardwired in. He'd listened to it so long and so much. He picked up everything in life he could pick up with his ears and with his understanding and his knowledge. But one day we're out on the road on the way to this gig, and we were talking about blindness and what it really meant. And he says, you know, the thing that gets me the most that I just can't understand is color. That's why I wear the shirt today, in his honor. Chuck could never get color. People would try to describe color to him, and it fell short. I mean, how do you describe green? Right? So I'm trying to describe green, and it just, like, well, I don't know, kind of, well, a little moist, a little cool. It's a little darker color, a little calmer color, you know. Everything I could think of to wrap words around it, but he still, you know, there's no real vision for color. And I start to realize that's really it. Blindness is just something you just can't quite get past. It's just something you just cannot see. And I think spiritual blindness happens to us too. Spiritual blindness, where we just can't quite get it. Let me kind of put the story in its place, because, like I said, Luke kind of put it in place with a lot of other stories. Some of them were stories that were parables. Some of them were stories of Jesus actually doing things. This one obviously is a story about something Jesus did, and so from that we can see his kind of character, the way he handles people, and the way he does things. But we started out earlier on with, like, the parable of the persistent widow and the unjust judge, right? So from that we learned, like, pray and don't give up, be persistent. Keep on praying, even when it doesn't look like things are coming through. And then we ended up with the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee. And so we learned, like, to understand that we're unworthy and that we need to be humble, that we need to ask God out of humbleness and not like we deserve it. Brooks was teaching about the rich man and how Jesus told him to lay down his riches and come follow him. And so we kind of looked at that and said, that really says, you know, we need to lay down whatever stands between us and following Jesus. And then there was the fact that Jesus walks into town and all these children want to see him. And they stop him from coming, and he says, no, let the children come to me, because they understand the kingdom of heaven. So there's a simplicity in the kingdom of heaven, and there's a willingness to do whatever, an honest acceptance of everything that Jesus says, a trustingness. So now we have blind Bartimaeus. And I think that the message with this scripture is, don't let anyone or anything stand in your way. Cry out to Jesus and be healed. Now, we don't know much about Bartimaeus. It's a very small snapshot. But we can kind of come up with some things about him just being blind in the first place, about where he is and his situation. It's bad enough to be blind, right? But he was blind in a day and age when there wasn't a lot of things to do, like listen to the internet or things like that. If you weren't just entertained easily at home quietly somewhere. There was no great social system to help him get by. They kind of let him do his own thing and didn't help much. They actually people actually believed that if you were blind, it was probably a punishment for something either you did, or your parents did, or your parents' parents did. And how many generations, like seven or something, this sin could go on, and you could get punished for that. And then actually people didn't have a reason to feel sorry for you because there was sin involved. So you kind of deserved it, right? So you had this weird culture about that. And then there's the whole thing about, well, if you can't provide for yourself, you can't provide for your family, you're kind of worthless. Especially in a society where you're working hard to get anything you eat and anything at all in life. So he probably didn't feel real good about himself, because all the time, everything he came up against told him he wasn't good enough. There was nothing in the society that would affirm him in any way. He was just a blind beggar. And beggar is a whole other connotation. It's like somebody that's just kind of sucking society dry, right? Like, just another annoyance. Every time you walk down the street, somebody's wanting something from you. Gosh, how many times does my phone ring when I'm at home? I don't even let anybody know my cell phone number except, like, normal people, because, yeah, I give them my home phone number, and then I just don't answer it. I mean, you know, all the companies, because I get so many prank calls and calls about products. I have no, people are asking for money all the time, and it just gets annoying, and you kind of build up an anger towards it. You got to think this guy had this kind of anger towards him a lot of times, too. It wasn't his fault. He's just there trying to do his thing. Well, okay, so he's a beggar, and he places himself on the road. Do I have a map up there? Or what's next? Oh, let's go back a couple. Let's just do that. He hears about this Jesus guy, right? And Jesus has gotten his name out pretty well. Everybody talks about him. All these healings are a spark. I mean, nobody's seen this stuff happen in thousands of years, and nothing like this. And so they're starting to say he's the Messiah. And these kind of scriptures here are the reason why. On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted will increase their gladness in the Lord. And the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And this next one. Then open the eyes of the blind. The eyes of the blind, which apparently mine are, will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. These are all scriptures about the coming Messiah. And let me tell you, the whole culture has been really looking for the Messiah hard. And so these scriptures have been circulating. And now Jesus is out there, and people are saying, this could be him. This could be him. And the culture on the street and the people passing by are all talking about this Messiah. He's on his way here. So now Bart places himself on the road where Jesus is coming in. And in fact, a lot of people are coming in because they're going to be coming in for the festivals in town, in Jerusalem. They're going to come straight through this town of Jericho. And there's pretty much this way in and that way out. It's the short way through. So I'm sure he placed himself in the right spot. Go ahead and put up my next slide. So they were coming down from Galilee, which is way up at the top there. And you come down the Jordan River, and you get to Jericho, that little lake on the top there to the left. And then you'd go down from there, which is actually uphill like crazy, into Jerusalem. And you go through some country that looks like this next slide. Pretty dry and not much in it going where, except for maybe, you know, a little traffic. Maybe not the cars, but anyway. So they came into Jerusalem, and Bartimaeus, being a good beggar, knew right where to set up. You know, this guy sets up right on the entrance ramp from the freeway to get down here. to church, he knows that Sunday morning about a zillion people from Solid Rock are going to go through that interchange, and they're all going to be Jesus people, so they might be a little more likely to give him some money. And so, and I never see him any other day of the week but Sunday, because I come through there every now and then. And that's just kind of part of the job. When you're a beggar, you figure out these patterns of people. So he set himself up just outside of the city, where the regular townsfolk that are tired of seeing him don't have to look at him. He doesn't have to contend with them. He sees the people that are coming in, the new faces, who might have some compassion, and they're going up to sacrifice a lamb. They're going up to celebrate the things that have happened for them in the year, and their good things, their crops and whatnot. And so they're ready to give. So he's placed there on the road, on the way into Jerusalem. Let's see. Kind of got ahead of myself here, so I'm finding it. So an important thing that we can learn from Bart here is a big key to the Christian life is recognizing that we can't see, that we're missing something. Before we can come into a life with Christ, we have to realize there's a reason for it. There's something there. We can't understand what the Christian life is like. There's a lot of things we don't understand. Spiritual blindness is a crazy thing, because you can actually even be blind to being blind. Right? Oh, I didn't know. Let me give you an example. Okay. When I was in my 20s, my loving husband and several of my friends were at this party we were at our house, and they dragged me into the back bedroom, very somber, and they had to tell me something. I'm like, what? Just come. So they laid it all out for me, and they said, look, you like to know everything, and you are an authority on everything, and you argue everything with everybody, and you always have to be right. And you won't back down, and you beat people up over it, basically. And you're going to lose some friends if you don't back off and stop this. I had no idea. I really didn't. I had no clue I was doing that. Now, I might have been able to take a clue from the fact that my father did that. I picked it up naturally. Just saying. I heard my dad one time argue with a best friend of mine that she had lived in this one spot. She said, no, I've never lived there. Yes, you have. Yeah. I mean, he had the audacity to argue with her about where she has lived or not. Like, really, Dad? But I really was on the verge of being that person. And I had no idea. And it cut me to the quick. And it opened my eyes, and I'm going to need your help with this one. You're going to have to let me know when I'm doing this to you. You're going to have to help me figure out how to not do this, because I don't want to do this to you guys. You know, I care about you, and I don't want to be that person. So I embarked on a journey to turn that around, but I first had to get rid of the blindness. My eyes had to be opened, and it took a hard knock from people who cared about me. being fed up with your condition is also really important. Okay? Without that, we're never going to be ready to do what it takes to go through the long, hard process of laying stuff down. Being ready to stand up to those who tell us that we don't deserve to be better is also important, right? Even sometimes that's us. Sometimes we tell ourselves we don't deserve to be better. We just should keep wallowing around in it. Sometimes other people tell us that, but we need to not listen to those voices. we need to understand that we're meant to be something more. We're meant to be something better. That Jesus made us for good things. The people leading Jesus into Jericho just told Bartimaeus, shut up. Just be quiet. I'm sorry, but if I know there's possibly healing coming, I've got two choices. On another day, he might have been quiet because he might have been ashamed to be the beggar, the blind person, the, all those things. But today, he saw healing coming. He saw that there was a possibility, just an inkling of a chance, that there could be something that could change his life forever, and he wanted it. He didn't even know what his life was going to look like. He didn't know what green looked like. I wore these colors because my buddy Chuck could probably now see them because he's gone to heaven, and I'm sure he's seeing colors that I can't even see. But I celebrate that there's this blindness has ended, and I think there's a time when our blindness can end, but only through Christ. I remember my mom one time was complaining about some little thing that bugged her in life, and I don't even remember what it was now because it was just a little thing, but it was one of those things that just kept coming at her. And I said, Mom, why don't you pray about it? And she said, it's too small of a thing to bother God with. And I said, no, I don't think that's how God works. I think God works like in the Philippians verse here. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. He wants to know our little stuff and our big stuff. I mean, you want to know the little stuff your kids are going through, right? He's daddy in a big way, and he cares about us. And when the big things come, do we back down then? Do we say, I can never overcome this? Well, no, because God can overcome this, and God wants you to overcome it. It's not insurmountable. It's not too tough if he helps us with it. Do we deserve it? That doesn't matter either. We don't deserve it. But Jesus loves us enough that he wants to give it to us as a free gift. It's grace. It's something that he gave his life to give us. And how can we turn that down? We don't have to deserve it. Christ deserves it, and he gives it to us. So then what do we do about that? We have to take a leap of faith. Well, for Bartimaeus, he didn't know what the world looked like. He didn't know what his life was going to become if he did it. He just knew that he was done with this one. Didn't want any more of that. Wanted whatever it is this Jesus wants to give him. We took in a guy named Dutch one time. He was a street guy. He was hardcore. He was into everything bad. If there was something, he was into it. He just couldn't understand. We took him in to try and help him get a job and a car and get himself off the street. And he did a little work around the house and exchanged for some meals and a place to stay while he was getting that done. And so he was working. He kept falling back, kept getting drunk and gambling away his money. And but in the process, I had a lot of long conversations with Dutch. And he had a lot of questions about Jesus because I think we were the first Christians he really ever got to talk to and have someone willing to answer his questions. And so we would have these long conversations. But Dutch's idea of a Christian was basically some sucker you could get to help you you know, with getting money, and then you could get your bills and your booze and your whatever you wanted. He thought he was scamming us. I thought I was helping him to maybe get a chance to see a glimpse of Jesus. And it wasn't until years later that Dutch came to Christ. He actually did, much to our surprise, especially Mel's. And he, when he did, he called me and he apologized for being such a pain. And he says, you know, I was scamming you the whole time. And I said, I know. He says, what? You knew? Yeah. You weren't pulling anything over on me. I knew what you were doing. He says, well, why did you let me do it? I said, because I thought maybe I'd have a little more time to tell you about Jesus. And he started crying. And he thanked me. Because he finally understood. He finally was past the blind point. See, I could tell him all these things, but he was so blind that none of it made any sense. You know, Christians were just no fun people and just wanted to squash all the joy in your life. That's who they were. And none of that made any sense to him until he finally took the leap. You gotta take the leap. When Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted, he said, Lord, I want to see. I want my sight back. He wanted to be healed, and he asked Jesus to open up this whole unseen world to him. In case you haven't noticed, people don't like change very much. He was asking for change. That's a bold move. I love there's, even in the Declaration of Independence, there's this place that says, and all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer what evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. It's easier to deal with pain than it is to deal with change. Until the pain gets unbearable, or until we realize that there's something else. Bartimaeus was ready for some change. So Jesus just says, receive your sight. That easy. That's it. Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And what was this faith? This faith was being ready to make this leap into the unknown. This crazy step that changes everything. That's the faith. Bartimaeus could see, and he could see with more than just his physical sight then. He could see that Jesus was everything he said he was, everything everyone said he was. He was more powerful and compassionate than anyone, and he was the Son of God. He could see that. Bart's whole world changed in an instant, and he knew that he had to follow Jesus. And he started to right away. There was no question in his mind. He started to follow Jesus. He would tell everybody he saw everywhere along the way what happened to him. He would do anything Jesus wanted him to do at that point. He was all in. I hope that as we're set free from our blindness, which sometimes happens in degrees, by the way, sometimes it's one little blindness here, one little blindness there. There's always this point where we make this huge step for Christ, where we turn our lives over to him. But there's all these little steps then along the way where we have to keep letting go of things, where we have to start being fed up with our stuff. Anyway, I hope as we're set free from those things that we're excited enough to share it with other people, that we're excited enough to let people know what God has done for us, and that we're not the reason for the change, but that Jesus is the reason for the change, that we couldn't have done it by ourselves, that we're too stuck to be able to do anything. The revelation may not be as big as the one Bartimaeus received, but it's still meant to be shared with every traveler we meet on the road. And who knows, maybe your story is the story that touches someone else, that helps make that little crack that they couldn't see before. But it suddenly made sense in them because of your story, because of your story. We all start our lives in a spiritual state of blindness. We all go through life, and as we begin to realize something's missing, and we don't know how to get it, we're not often sure what it is. Because of our spiritual blindness, we have a distorted idea of who God is and what a life with God in control is like. We need each other to see that. Remember, we're Jesus to each other. Jesus met Bartimaeus on the road, but maybe the Jesus in you meets a person here. Jesus in you meets this person. No amount of teaching is going to describe what the life in Christ is like, so have patience. It's Christ's calling that's going to make the difference. Jesus actually told everybody, just like he told the people when they told the little children, don't, you know, take the children away, Jesus doesn't want to see them, you know. He did the same thing with Bartimaeus. Come here. Jesus is the only one that can cut through the spiritual blindness in our lives. His deep love for us, his freedom-making sacrifice of love, makes new life where there wasn't any life. He was, Doug was going to do zombies, but then he changed his mind. It's kind of appropriate, you know, dead to living. Yeah. We only have to ask to get our sight. We just have to ask Jesus. We have to say, I want it. I want my sight. And he's ready to heal us. He loves us. He wants us to understand. And only once he's healed us do we begin to understand. When we can finally see, we joyfully run down the road and we follow him. That's the natural response. Get excited about this. It's okay. There's nowhere I'd rather be. It's following Jesus. So that's really, other than about a million bunny trails, all I had to say today. So let's pray. Jesus, give us sight in our blind places. Give us something that we don't even know exists, that you have for us, that you want for us. Give us the ability to see the things that you have that are good and holy and whole. Help us break through these chains that want to hold us down and make us forever stuck. Give us freedom, Lord, because you're the only one who can. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.